Mizmor Lamed Beis, Lev, Pasuk Zayin, on page 278. Ato Seifli Mitzar, Titzreini, Ronei Falei, Tisaveveni Sala. This pasuk, I think we say every once in a while.
Yeah, it's in Karbonis.
It's in Karbonis? Oh, that's right.
You say this, right?
You don't say Karbonis, I guess.
I used to, but
this is one
time.
You know when I started saying it again? I started saying it by when we had something in the house, so I had nothing
more better
time to do. I started saying it all over again.
The Shua or the Fida has a Zulua called the Zulua Avi. Would you say three people in front of the back?
Right.
One pasuk is
Anibokayach.
In Anibokayach.
You say backwards there also?
Interesting.
I never heard that before. You gotta check
every
that out.
Every day it's called the Avi. This is Aleph, the Beis.
So you say this pasuk backwards. This pasuk is supposed to say backwards?
Yeah.
I never heard that. Wow. Alright, gotta go check that out. You say Sela to Seveni Fale Rani Titzeni Yitzar. Lee says to Ata, yeah, that's not how you say that?
Uh-huh.
Never heard that before. Maybe. Live and learn.
Never heard it.
Okay, you heard it.
Live and learn. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudas. Okay, let's see what it says in the Mitzudas on Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudas. Pasuk Zayin, Ata says, Vyama Bitvilasi, page 278. Vyama Bitvilasi, Ata Tiali, Nuyos. You Hashem, may you be a shelter for me from punishment. And guard me from tsaros. So that's you Hashem seisli mitzar, leval yuchlu oisi yichalu oisi min oilam, so that the tsaros should not destroy me, finish me off from this world. Roni falit li oilam forever. Tisavev oisi berina, instead of surrounding me by, instead of sheltering, don't just shelter me from tsaros. David is asking Hashem should replace, should surround him with joy. Le'olam tisabev oisi berina, with song shalatzala, ritzon olaymar, kishetavoy alay tzara, le'morei ke'ovayin. When it happens, that Hashem rachmano litzlan, brings upon me a tzara, to purge, to cleanse my neshama, v'seilech lo, and then the tzara goes away, and it comes again and returns, every time it goes away, I will sing a zontite.
So it comes and goes.
Comes and goes, that's life. I will sing a song of salvation, as if I'm surrounded by them forever. So let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ata you Hashem." The subject of the word "Ata" is Hashem. Seisli mitzar. Mitzar. Now, when it says titzreini, what is the exact translation of the word titzreini? Means to guard. Titzreini means to guard me. You surround me, mitzar. Is the word titzreini connected to the word mitzar titzreini, or is the word titzreini part of the next expression? The word titzreini can have multiple meanings. It doesn't only mean one thing. Don't give them tzar. Don't cause them tzar. From my adversary, you guard me. From my your translation is translating the word titzreini as lotion of guard, to guard. Okay, this is another example of a word. It's a poetic expression.
It's a play on words.
Play on words. Lashay nof ala lashay. The same, both of these words have the same shorish, tzadi reish, which means tsar. But in the first word, it means from a foe, an enemy. And the second expression means to guard, to take away the enemy. If I use a yishrash yisharesh, tsar is the enemy. Titzreini, it's take away the enemy. You Hashem, you shelter me. And mitzar, from the enemy. Tzreini, you shelter me, you protect me. And then the pasuk concludes, running with expressions of song, falate, bring escape, tisaveini sela, and surround me continuously. And the mitzvah of over here is learning is that there's a cycle in life. It's saying a very interesting idea, which is not really saying the pasuk. He's saying there's a cycle in life. That's why it's like almost a play on the expression of tisaveini. It's, you know, seiser means a shelter. Shelter is on all four sides. The soivin is soive. Halech el doraim, the soive, what's the positive say? The soive. Soive is a cycle. And in life, that's life. There are cycles in Jewish history, the cycles in life where a person does an aveira, and then our Heshi is back. Shalom Aleichem, we're all concerned about you. Welcome back. Good to see you back. Good to see you. I just noticed. I just noticed a second. I'm preoccupied with myself. My gaiva doesn't let me notice other people. Mark, you snuck in here also, I see. Under the radar. Okay, so over here, a cycle of life. He's saying a very interesting idea is that in life, a person, Rahman was done, person at every point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Taveya. Not all times are the same. Life is not one continuous stream of joy and blessing. There are times in life when it's difficult. There's hester panim. And those difficult moments are meant to purge and meant to cleanse a person, to keep a person on course. But it comes and goes. Nothing lasts. A tzara does not last forever. A tzara eventually goes away. And when the tzara goes away, the mission, the goal has been accomplished. And a person now can return back to a state of being uplift, up being on a high. And when that happens, he has an obligation to thank Hashem for being spared from the tzara and from gaining from the experience of that event. So that's how he says, you have always sheltered me from mitzar, from my enemies, tits reini, you have protected me from my enemies. And when that tekufa comes and the enemy goes away and the danger has passed, then Rone, I bring forth expressions of Rina. What kind of expressions of Rina? A Rina of falate, of escape. There are different types of expressions of joy. When a person is just on a high, everything is going well, you also have sing songs of joy. But there's a unique type of joy that a person expresses when he is spared, when he is released from a difficulty. And this, then with the Mitzvah stuff, it seems to be saying is, the next two words are independent words. This cycle in life of a person having difficulties and then overcoming the difficulties and returning to a state of bliss and happiness, of course, growing through the experience, is a time of Rone Falet. And this is a cycle of life. Tisoyvivein. It goes in circles. Sela, continuously. Sela means continuously in one's life. Person on a high. And then one day, you know, things are not the way they were. And it causes a person to reflect and to do teshuvah and to acknowledge that the difficulty he's going through is in essence an atonement or a refinement of his neshama. And then when that passes, he sings to Hashem in song, thank Hashem for his salvation, and he goes back to being on high. But he can't expect being on high to last forever. That's the cycle of life. The cycle of life, the whole beginning of Navi, say the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, is Klal Yisrael, they were living in a sublime, state of bliss. And then what happens? Complacency. And then they begin to do Avodah Zarah. And then they have Grois Tzaros. And then Hashem sends them a Shofet. Yiftach HaGeladi. Shimshon HaGibor. Or I don't remember all the Shoftim.
Devora.
How can I? Where we go through all?
Ehud.
No, he was the bad guy. Ehud.
Ehud was the bad guy.
No, 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 no. I'm saying. Okay. What am I saying? All right, we go through a whole cycle. We go through. We go through a whole cycle, and then Vatishkoi Toaretz. Ah, Arbuim Shana, and then the Shoyter comes along and he saves Klal Yisrael, and then there's peace and tranquility. Vatishkoi Toaretz Arbuim Shana, 40 years. Ah, Klal Yisrael, no daigus, everything is smooth sailing. And then what happens? Complacency. And Vayishmon Yishurun Vayivot, and the cycle repeats itself again and again and again and again and again. The same way that is true in the history of Klal Yisrael, it's true in a person's own lifetime. When a person is on a high, everything is going wonderful, it's only human nature for a person to begin to let down his guard. And then Hashem has to remind him. And then when he survives, he gives Sherech V'Hayda. And then he's then Vatishkoi Toaretz, and then the cycle begins. So the stuff is something very profound. What it seems to be saying is that these two words to Sarveveni Sela is going back on the entire pasuk. There's a cycle. The cycle is there are troubles in life. For first the pasuk, before the pasuk even begins, it's mashmu that life is wonderful, and then all of a sudden it creeps upon a person problems, and Hashem saves a person. Hashem shelters the person. Hashem protects him. And Hashem brings about salvation. And the person then is running falit. And then he gives thanks to Hashem. And then the cycle starts again. And then it goes back to more problems. Ata say serli. And again Hashem comes to mitzar titzreli and is running falit. There are songs of joy and salvation. This cycle of the Pasuk Zion is a cycle to Saivaveni that goes in the cycle through a person's lifetime again and again and again. Let's read these words of the Messiah. It's very powerful what he says. It's very deep. It's a very deep idea that he says of it. Look on to Pasuk Zion and the Mitzvah of it. Ata says, Levi Yama Bitfilah. Say, Ata, you Hashem, Tia Lila says, and Apodonios. This is Shmoy Simon Atzara. Laval Yichalu, I see that I should not go and destroy me. Rame Falait, Loilam. What does that mean? Le'olam. What does that mean? Ritzayin olam. Whenever he says ritzayin, whenever the mitzvah says ritzayin olaymar, it's like when Rashi says koloymar kishatovay olay tzara. When Rachmana litzlan, Hashem brings upon me tzara lemorek ha'elvayin to cleanse the sin, the seleich lo, and it goes away. But what happens when it goes away? Eventually, it comes back. Eventually complacency sets in, the person begins to challenge Hashem, and then Hashem brings salvation and it goes away. Every time the tzara goes away, I sing Rina Shalatsala. Uchilu ehem misoivov bohem le'olam. I'm interpreting this to mean that this cycle continues constantly throughout life. All right, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav. Rashi, there is no pasuk vav. How do you like that? Let's see over here the chidah. The chidah. Let's see what he says here. A nice chidah over here. Pasuk. Well, you know what he has another.
Rashi Zion.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know the Zion and Ches. Let's do another pasuk. Then we'll come back. Let's go with one more pasuk. Then we'll come back. Askilcha v'orcha. Askilcha. Who's saying this? Who is saying the words Askilcha? Is it Hashem saying the word, or is it? I'm pasuk Ches. I pile the pasuk Ches. I am in pasuk Ches, page 278. I'm reading the pasuk first. Askilcha. Who's saying that? Rashi says Hashem is saying this. What? Hashem is saying this. Dover over here, Hashem is responding. Rashi. I will give you wisdom. The next words of the pasuk, v'orcha and light. B'derech zu teilech. This is the derech you shall go in. I atso olecha eini mitzudes David. Etein lecha. Look over here. Let me look at Eitza. But etein lecha Eitza b'davar asher reisi. Be'atzmi, ki gam anoichi chatasi v'shafti l'Hashem v'chazeh hispalalti v'hinei ho'ilo t'vilos. I made a mistake. It's not going on Hashem. According to the Mitzvah, this is referring to David. David over here is saying, let me give you some advice. Let me share with you my life experience. Whoever's listening to me, whoever is reading this pasuk, imagine David said this probably 3,000 years ago, and here we are in the morning kollel on Ocean Avenue in the secular year 2022, and David over here is speaking to us as if he's alive, as if he walked into the shul, and he's giving us a keynote address, and he's telling you, I want to give you wisdom. Let me give you askilcha, I will give you wisdom, the orucha, and I will enlighten you. And what is the wisdom and enlightenment I can provide for you people listening to me all these years later? Biderech zu selech. Go in this path. What's the zoo going on? Biderech zu. In this path go. What is the zoo? So the Mitzvah David says, in the path of what? To do teshuva. Let's read more words. Yatzo alecha eini. I will provide for you. My eyes will give forth to you counsel, good advice. Again, the mitzvahs. Etain lecha. I will give you etza bedavar regarding a matter asher roisi beini, first-hand life experience. Ki gam anochicha tasi. I also sinned in my lifetime. But you know what? Just because you sin, it's not over. V'shafti la Hashem, and I prayed to Hashem, v'chazeh hispalaldi, and I was mispalel, and my prayers were answered. Just because a person sins, you pray to Hashem for forgiveness and for understanding and acceptance, and it works. Hashem will take you back. This is my legacy. This was the David, Ella lehoyrois teshuva leYisrael, to teach the principle of teshuva. He's the fourth pillar. Okay, the fourth amud in Klal Yisrael. Think about it. It's very, very interesting. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are really not the ideal people for us because they never sinned. And even if you'll tell me they sinned, I mean, you know, I mean, anyone that says that Avraham sinned right away is attacked. No one attacks anyone that says David sinned. No mefarish. Anyone that comes and says David was chayte, eshes ish. No one attacks them.
They just say,
yeah, if I tie each one, it means the facts are undeniable.
They're mistaken.
You know, they try to. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in Yeshiva Ketana, they will never, ever, ever tell a child that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov ever did an Avera their whole life. Never. You got to get a lot older, and you got to get learn a Ramban that says that Avraham choto gedoyla. He makes it sound like Avraham Avinu, what he did. Woo, what a chait, what an avarion. Givaldic. If Aravina was, and you know, Yom Kippur, you ever go to shul, they always tell you this, they say, is there a Kohen? Balkriya? Anyone here Balkriya? Oh, Baruch Hashem is a Balkriya. Oh, okay, come late. Is there a Kohen? A Kohen in the house? Oh, a guy, good, come. Levi? Oh, phew, stay by the day. Fine, then they get by. Comes Erev Yom Kippur. Kol Nidre. Wait. You know, at the end, we have to say, Anu Matirim Lehispalel Im Ho'Avaryonim. Is there an Avaryon in the house here? Any Avaryon? So if Avraham... Is there Avaryonim? We need Avaryonim here.
Anybody not?
Maybe they make that announcement in your shul? Any Avaryonim here?
We know what we
can. What?
We're all Avaryonim.
No one makes. You never heard them make that announcement? Never heard? So the question over here, so can you imagine if the Ramban was the rabbi of the shul and Avraham Avinu walks in, he would say, Baruch Hashem, we have an Avarian. I'm not joking. He says it. He says it flat out.
Yeah.
He says it flat out. He did such l'shoynes that today they would mamish burn it for what the Ramban wrote. The world came to an end. Hashem said to Avram, you go to Eretz Canaan. Lech lecha. And where does he go? oh, there's nothing in the store, supply chain problems here in Eretz Canaan. So where do you go? You go to Mitzrayim. You go to America. You got supply chain problems here in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Canaan. Hashem told you to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem didn't tell you to go to Mitzrayim. Where's the Emunah? Just because there's nothing to eat. So what? You'll figure it out. That's what the Rabban says.
Right.
Okay, the Rabban says. So, but the Rabban is be'etzem das yochid. No one has the guts to say that. Even the Rishonim. No one. I don't think there's any other Rishon that says such talk. And if not, the Rabban won't even dare even have a havamina. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were perfect. You talk about, whenever you're dealing with these type of things, this, they don't like to talk about. But when it comes to David, so therefore they got a problem. The Kisei HaKavod cannot survive on three legs. Because we're not perfect. They represent an ideal. But it's not, they're not very practical. Because if we only had Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we wouldn't survive the day. Because listen, you know, we need David. David is the fourth leg of the Kisei HaKavod, because David is the practical reality of life. We are all Balei Teshuva. Everyone knows the story. One of the persons he went and told a certain Rosh Yeshiva, what do you learn? I learn in Or Sameach, but I'm not about Teshuva. I just like the Beis Medrash. It's near, good, convenient, good air conditioning. I'm not about Teshuva. And the Rosh Yeshiva says, why not? Why aren't you about Teshuva? Why not? So be about Teshuva. Just because you think you're from, you can be about Teshuva also. We need David. David was the Baal Teshuva. David was the one who brought Teshuva into the world. And David here in this pasuk is saying it explicitly. Let me teach you something, my child. Let me give you wisdom, skilcha, v'orcha. I will enlighten you. Isn't this beautiful, poetic, how beautiful these words are? B'derech zu teilech. Do Teshuva. Don't be embarrassed. I'atso olecha eini. It's a beautiful expression, it's a complex expression according to the Mitzudos. What my eyes have witnessed, I'm giving you first-hand knowledge of what life is all about. What my own eyes saw of how I sinned, and I was misfala, and Hashem accepted me, He took me back, I'm giving this advice to you. You do the same thing. You're also a sinner. We're all sinners. You do teshuva, be misfala, Hashem will take you back. You know, this is one of the most fundamental differences between Judaism and other religions. Other religions, there's very little tolerance for sin. Once you do an Aveira, you're out. There's not much room to do Klal Yisrael and Yadus. There's an enormous koyach of teshuva, enormous koyach, and this is something which is very, very appealing to many people. This koyach, look, like, listen, we don't, the whole religion, the Christianity is bogus. But by Christianity, there's no divorce. There's no divorce.
Catholics.
Oh, how did Princess Diana get divorced?
They're not Catholics.
They're not Catholics? That's a question. How are they able to pull it off? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. There's no tolerance for acknowledgement of mistake, of dealing with hate. Look, people.
What's
look,
the confession look. About? Isn't it Catholic?
I don't know. What's the name?
Yeah, I don't know the theology. You're right. Here's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the confession mood really is something that doesn't exist in Yadav. It's Al Ha'osit.
Okay.
Father, I am about to sin. Forgive me for what I'm about to do. I'm about to kill someone. I want forgiveness. Al Ha'osit. Call Oimer Echte. The Oshuv. Alright, I don't know. He's saying good. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know anything. I certainly don't know. I certainly don't know their theology, and they make up the rules. What's this thing over here with abortion, communion? Does it make any sense? This whole religion is such a joke. You go with all these politicians and go kill the babies, kill them. But you're a Catholic, you're a Protestant. The Pope's gonna forgive you, you're gonna get. Yeah, what? What's the whole thing is such bogus. The whole thing is kuchot lulah. All right, but David over here is
when people
are prison. Yeah, the whole thing is similar. So David over here is telling this real psalm to teach you the truth. Let's see what he says in Rashi. Rashi calls him Zayin Ches. Ata say serli lihi saser bitzilcha in your shade. It's a very beautiful expression. Shade. The topic of shade is a big topic in Judaism. Shade. Bitzalel stood in the tzel of Hashem. Bitzel Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. On the Shana Rabba, you're supposed to see at the light of the moonlight and look and measure the shadow that the moon casts. You don't do that. All the Pesachim say, don't you dare do this, because you don't know what you're doing, you don't even know what this means. But it says in the Ramah. Ramah says that on the Shana Rabba, you're supposed to go outside in the moonlight. On Shana Rabba, it's towards the end of the month. It's already, what, 2020? It's the 20th day of the month, 19th to 20th day of the month, and you're supposed to stand outside the night of Shana Rabba, and in the moonlight, and see the shadow that the moon casts on your body, and measure the shadow. And if the shadow, what does it say? If the shadow is too small or too big, it's not a good sign, and you should do emergency teshuva. We don't know what this means, but obviously these are very very sophisticated concepts of shade. Hashem shelters me b'tzilicha in your shadow. Mibnei pachad oyev, the terror of the enemy. Then it says titzreini kmo tishmereini, to guard me. This word parallels what guard me says. So Roni falit rina shelat sala, song of salvation to sereini l'shoyin hoyvehu, it's in the present tense. Se vo vasni tamid, you continuously have sheltered me, surrounded me with roni falit. So in other words, that you think of it, the Sereveni is the past tense. This is very important. This is interesting what he says over here. He says this elsewhere, Rashi, many times, but it's a little bit different. Is whenever something is written in the present tense, it's very important to say, it means continuously. But it doesn't necessarily mean continuously now or the future. A word in Tanakh, according to Rashi, you have this many times, you come across this every so often, it's written in the present tense. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's happening now and it will happen again in the future. It can mean, as it does in this case, the past, not the present. So why then did David write this expression in the past tense? He means to say this was constant. This hanhaga of you, Hashem, was continuous. It's no longer true today, and it's no longer true in the future. Because David over here obviously is writing this at a later point in his life, and he's reflecting what happened in the past. So he is referring to the past in the present tense. So why are you using the present? He's using, so you say, a word in Tanakh that's in the present tense means it is continuous. In the past, This was a constant. Always is no deviation from this principle. Now it's not relevant to me because I'm dead or I'm leaving this world. It's over. But when I reflect on the past, this was always the fact continuously. It's a very good insight to keep with you when you learn Pesukim and Chumash elsewhere, is when a word is written in the present tense, it doesn't necessarily mean the present tense. It just means tamid. So get over here, Zeliyah, this is Sivavasti. You tell me, Rinafalit, Vikach Omarti Li, Vikach Omarti Li. Now, over here, according to Rashi, who's speaking of you? Let's see. Askilcha Viorcha Derech Lelechas. I will make you wise and enlighten you, the Derech Lelechas. I Atso Ermois Lecha Beinai. I'm going to wink. A new interpretation. We have Machloikis. Don't you love Machloikis? The Machloikis in Torah always brings out the Yoifi of everyone's Pshat. He disagrees with Rashi, with the Mitzvahs. It doesn't mean I'm giving you advice, Lashon of Eitzah. I'm going to be merames. I'm going to hint. And because in this pasuk the word eini is used, so it means to wink with the eye. You wink with the eye, i'atzah ermoyz l'cha be'enai, remes, ma ta'aseh. I'atzah l'shoim ki ritzas ayin.
That's the usual term.
Is it? For wink, the word kiritzas, right? The word kiritzas, a fold. The word kiritza means, I think, a fold. So when you close your eye in a certain way, in your what we call winking with your eye, you're folding your eye. Kimo otso einov lachshayv tapuchos. A person, he winks with his eye to think tapucha is the same mishlei. There, the context, I guess, refers to a person is an evil, a shrewd devil. And he's winking and he's using his eyes as a way, it's an expression, to come up with some mischief, make some problems for people. So here, in this context, it means, I'atza alecha eini, I will wink with my eye. The translation is much simpler than Rashi, because the words actually flow together. You don't have to come and impair the words and say the words are metaphors. I will wink to you with my eye. Now, what is the main difference between Rashi and the Mitzvot? It would appear that Hashem is speaking. Okay, maybe not. I think over here, according to the Mitzvot, Hashem is the one who's speaking. V'kach omarto li. And so did Hashem say to me. So did you say to me. Hashem over here is speaking to David. We have to then go on to the next pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. We'll come back in a few moments to finish up over here. If we're good, we can finish this. Al tihyu kisus kiferet. Don't be like a sus, a horse, kiferet, a mule. Ein havin, who has no understanding, b'mesek voresen edyoy liv loim. Bal kiroiv eilach. Mitzudo istavu, pasuk tes. Kisus kiferet. Atume lev kimoisam. Incredible, the Dovid over here is coming to tell us the mitzis of a horse. A horse and a mule are stubborn. We only say this about a mule. Do you say about a stubborn, is there such an expression, a stubborn horse? Never heard that before. A stubborn mule. Mayor always tells me that, a stubborn mule. A mule, a stubborn, in a good way. A stubborn mule, I'm not trying to say anything bad about you, Mayor. Mule. A mule is stubborn. Over here, Mitzvah says a sus. A sus is also called otum leiv. B'mesek voresen, a harness. Asher kishe ki she mi kashtim oisai b'mesek voresen. Oz mechatzarech livloin piv lebal yikrav eilecha linshach. When you beautify them, it's not really beautifying them with a mesek and a resen, with a harness. Okay, when you go and you want to go and harness, you gotta be very careful. Why? Because that you should not. Oz me'atzerach livloim piv leval yikrav yelechem linshach ki ein lechelik babina ladashe lekashtoi misimin loy v'loy lahachivai. The animal does not have the knowledge. Very profound stuff. The animal does not have the knowledge to understand that it's being harnessed for its benefits. It's not being harnessed for its detriment. And because it does not understand, the animal will fight you, will bite you. And therefore you have to guard yourself from the attack. No good deed goes unpunished. Here I am, I'm putting on a harness on the animal. Why am I putting on a harness? So let's assume because the animal has a tendency to go into a path that's dangerous. So I need to protect it from itself. The animal's gonna go off the path, go into a minefield. Or fall off a cliff, or go into a ravine, a river, who knows, and go into a very dangerous place. I need to protect the animal from itself. It has to protect itself by putting on a harness in order for its own good. The animal has no understanding that what I'm doing to it is for its own benefit. It thinks I'm coming to hurt it, and therefore it fights back. A human being is exactly the same thing. A person goes to surgery. Can you imagine the patient? You have a person who's been taken in for surgery. And if the person does not have the surgery, he's going to die. And the doctor has a knife and has some tools. He puts on a big mask. Gloom and doom. And the guy looks at the doctor and he sees the doctor has a knife and is about to stab him and cut him up. So what does the person think? You're a murderer. You're a ritzeach. That's not a ritzeach. Doctor's coming to save this person's life. That's the marshal in life. Every time a difficulty in life comes upon a person, so we look at Hashem, we have tightness. What are you doing to me? Here I am. I have a difficulty, I have a problem in life. I'm struggling. Whatever the struggle is, what are you doing, Ribbono Shel Olam? What are you doing? I heard Rabbi Shur, I couldn't say, but Rabbi Shur said this. Rabbi Shur, he says in front of a lot of people, he says, every single person in this room is walking around with tightness against Ribbono Shel Olam. Can you imagine if I was a leader, I'm going to be cracking Torah? He said it. He said, every person, you have time to son Hashem. Everyone here, deep down, you have time. What do you do, Hashem? No, I did mine. Look what you do. Look what you do. You owe me. I don't owe you nothing. I did more for you than you did for me in my life. Every person walks around with that attitude to a degree. Some more than others. Some a lot more than others. But everyone with a mashahu. And the truth is, it's apikorsis. It's apikorsis. Because the truth is, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's just like exactly what it says over here, the most basic, mundane mashal you can possibly give. A horse and a mule, they need a harness. Because if they don't have a harness, the horse will go off the cliff. It will go into a river. It will go into a minefield. So you need a harness to protect the horse, a leash. Don't go there. And when you come to put the leash, the harness on the animal, it appears that, what are you doing to me? You're hurting me. And the animal fights with a horse. We are the horse, we are the mule. Hashem brings upon us difficulties. What are you doing, Hashem? And we don't realize, we don't see the whole picture. You read this book over here. Mary brought back this book. Look at this book. I've been here before. You read this book, you get a little bit of a taste of...
That's about Gilgal?
Yeah. Sorry, Yocheved Rigler. If this book doesn't shake you up, I don't know what will. You read this book, and she says there she has thousands of stories. The only ones she put in this book are the stories that she has bent backwards to authenticate. 200, they're basically 200 stories she writes, right? 200.
Only Holocaust.
Only very, that's very specific, very limited category. And she says every story to the best that she possibly can is as real as it gets. And she has more. She can write a few volumes. But those stories she doesn't feel are so as authentic as these. So this is sort of very fine. Fine. And she's as good as it gets. She's world accepted in all the yeshiva world. The Haredi world is very critical. They have a tendency to be mevata. Tremendous kech habitel in the yeshiva world. But she's a celebrity in the yeshiva world. And if she can write such a book, she wrote the Chicken Soup. What's the Chicken Soup book? What's the name of the person?
Soup for the Soul or something?
Yeah, what's the name of who? You know. No, but about who did she write it about?
From
Kra Hasidim. Okay, she writes a Mishpacha. She has a tremendous following. But the truth is, we have no clue what's going on in this world. It's B'meseg V'resen Edyoy Livlon. What is the word Edyoy? Edyoy means a very hard word, piv. Edyoy means the mouth. Hamaspia, the mitzvah seal, and says Hamaspia batoiv edyech. Hashem satisfies, satiates with good edyech. You ever hear that word? I never heard that. That's new to me. Ayin dalid means food. It means your mouth. That's what it says. You know, the word aid is the word aid is used quite a bit. Obviously, it means a witness. It means also jewelry. It's the shorash of the word jewelry. Haser edyecha me'olecha. Take off your jewelry from upon you, and od me'at usikalumi. Same two letters. Od, soon, very soon they're gonna stone me. Od me'at, Moshe said, right? Od me'at usikalumi. Who said that? Who's od me'at usikalumi? Moshe. Od me'at usikalumi. It's a and here, look at this, in the middle of nowhere. On a Monday morning in the Young Israel Midword. Never heard this before. The word Ayin Dal, the Shoresh of Ayin Dal means your mouth. What? Where's the Korach? Oh, I'm going to school by Korach. Here's a whole new translation. So it says over here, B'meseg Voresen Edyoy, when a person attempts to harness his donkey, and that's donkey, I'm sorry, his mule or his horse, and this adds in with, because what's a meseg you put on what? A meseg you put on a horse. And a resen you put on a mule, it seems. Is that correct? These two words refer to the correct term for the harness. Each animal, it's really amazing how the Torah devotes so many vocabulary words to animals. I think more so, I don't know, languages, but even maybe you have to analyze other languages. It's a very small language, Lashon HaKodesh. Yet when it comes to animals, the Torah uses, separates every animal into a world by itself, and uses different language, the sound that a horse makes. There are many different words for the sounds. I don't have the whole vocabulary, but here we have a harness. So what's the difference? There's a harness. You harness a mule, you harness a horse, you harness a donkey. Here there are two very different words according to the mitzvahs. One word refers to the harness of a mule, and the other is a horse. Two very different words.
What I find interesting is the Yiddish word for a horse, we say a fer. But a fer is pei resh dalet, is pered, which is a mule, non sus. So
very interesting. Okay, the Yiddish here. Okay, you see, Yiddish. It's not Hebrew.
They didn't have horses. They have
right. It's Yiddish. German. Yiddish is really German.
Yeah, they only had horses. They didn't have horses.
That's probably it.
Expensive to have a horse.
All right, let's see. Let's see the mitzvahs of it again. I'm reading again the mitzvahs of it. Pasuk test on the very bottom of page 280. Atu melev kim oisam b'mesik v'nesan asher kim ki shem mikashtim. When you beautify it, I told you you're protecting it from its own. You're protecting it from itself. I don't know why, but over here it's a beauty. You're decorating. Why is it called a decoration? I guess that's its tafkid. The tafkid of a horse is to serve. So when you put on its harness, that's its beauty. What your tafkid is, if I could turn on the tape recorder for 1 second, I can get literally killed for saying this. So I'll say very quietly, no one who's asking them for this? Let's go weiter. B'mesek v'resen asher kishim mikashtim. It's a decoration. The harness. B'mesek v'resen oz me'at tzarech livloim piv. Now it says you have to be livloim piv. You have to close their mouth very tight when you put on this resen, so that
it's translated here as a bit and bridle.
A bit and a bridle. The bit goes in the mouth and the bridle goes around the mouth. You have to close the mouth very tightly before you put this on, so they should not bite you. Lebal yikrav elecha, that they, the animal, should not come near you, linshoich, to bite. Ki ein lechelik babina, because an animal does not have a chelik, a portion in knowledge. Ladas, to understand, she le kashtoi misimin boy, you're only coming for its benefit, to beautify it. Viloy lehachiv, not to cause it pain. Vi'omashat lotiek, and you human beings, don't be like animals. Don't be, you have a chelik of bina, and understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon you a difficult situation for your benefit. It's not for your detriment. Kein ubin tovin, understand. Shahayisurim haboim heimo limorek. Yisurim come to cleanse, avoin v'loy tiva'eid b'chem. Don't kick, don't reject them. Okay, this is scary stuff. This is not for the faint of heart, what David over here is saying. Let's see. Let's just finish up the part of the paragraph. We'll do the Rashi's first. But Rabbi Machoyim l'Rasha, Pasuk Yud. There are many pains to a Rasha, but v'habatech b'Hashem Chesed yisalvenu. But those that have faith in Hashem are surrounded by Chesed. Pasuk Yud b'Mitzvus David. Rabbi Machoyim ki a Rasha hamabit b'Yisurim hinei boim olav. A Rasha that rejects Yisurim hinei boim olav. Rabbi Machoyim, a Rasha that rejects Yisurim, he has even more pain. Therefore, his benefit. The kindness of Hashem surrounds him. Now, he's saying over here a very controversial thing. He's saying that by accepting, it's very difficult to understand this whole thing. Because, you know, if a person needs surgery, it's not going to go away. If a person has a problem, and he needs there to be surgery, you can't, there's nothing you can do. You can't, there's no money in the world you can give. You know, instead of having surgery, I'll give in the physical world, I'll give you $1 million. And that way, I'm automatically, I'm healed. If a person needs surgery, he needs surgery. There's nothing you can do to take away the pain and the whole process of recovery that the person is going to go through. You need surgery, there's going to be surgery, there's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, and then you'll get through it. Just go through the process. It'll take some time, but at the end, but when it's all over, you'll be back in the business, you'll be better than ever. There's nothing you can do. So, a neshama that's meluch lachin chet needs surgery. The chait has to be purged. The way the chait is purged is through Yisurim. What are you going to do? I'm going to daven to Hashem and daven, 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 daven. And then, oh, forgiven. You don't need to have the Yisurim. How does that work? Chait is real. A chait is not, it's not like in kindergarten they tell you, oh, you do a chait, you do an aveira, you say you're sorry, you say chatasi, all forgiven. That's very naive. That's a childish way of looking at chait. When a person does a chait, we don't realize it, we're damaging our neshama. There is real damage that happens to a person's neshama when he does a chait. When he makes a conscious decision to do what he knows is the wrong thing to do, it damages the neshama. And the only way for that damage to be repaired is through surgery. And the surgery is Yisurim. And we don't want Yisurim, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, but that's the way it goes. And the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, when a rasha gets the Yisurim, he's boyed. I don't want this, I don't care, I do not accept it, and I don't care, I'll die, I'm not having surgery, I refuse medical attention. And even if it means I'm going to die, I'll die in this world, die in the next world. A tzaddik, I need the surgery. I accept it with love. I accept it because I know when I'm going to have the surgery in the next world, that's going to be bliss. So the Mitzvot Dov is something very controversial. He says, no. If you give enough, you do enough davening, you mispalo, you're healed without the Yisurim. How does that work? I don't know. Because other Rishonim don't say, he's not a Rishon, others don't say this. They don't say this. But there's no supernatural when it comes to the neshama. What does that mean? The neshama is what a person does in Aveira. There's damage to the neshama. We have emuna. That's the way, that's the way it is. And a person needs to go through, the same way in this world, a person has an addict. He has to go for rehabilitation, and it's extremely painful to break the addiction. A neshama is meluchlach b'chait. There's a process, and Hashem guides the person through the process, and the person is going to reject the process. What do you expect? It's not going to get better. And here the Mitzvah Zdav is something very controversial. He says, Vamotech b'Hashem, which means he davens to Hashem, forgive me, chesed yisalvenu, and his words are, Hashem's v'emin m'vayba, ha-chesed me'Hashem misavay, ki yisirei mimenu. Hashem removes the Yisurim. Really? How do we understand that? So obviously there's a lot more to this, a lot, many, many, many greater dimensions to this than we really understand how all of this works.
You're making an interesting point on this week's parasha. Barbanel makes a point on the pasuk, most nafshi, most yishurim, that he says, Bilam wanted to die like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, he said, Lord, Tophozo came to Sodeya.
Without the Yisurim.
Right. He said, without the Yisurim. He said, but you can't live without the Yisurim and die in peace. You have to accept the Yisurim. And that they went through all these Yisurim. You're not willing to accept it. So what do you think?
What do you expect? So if you learn the pasuk in the more harsh way, you go, you see there are people, Rachman, that deal with have a lot on their plate. A lot of difficulties in life. And you talk to them, and like you look at them, you're even scared to even stand near them. How does this guy survive a day? What he's dealing with. What this guy is dealing with in his family, and his children, and this, and his health. How does this guy even walk the streets? And you talk to him, and he sincerely says, life is wonderful. Hashem gave me so much bracha, and he gave this and this. I have some challenges, big deal. You look at these people, the Malachi Elohim, in their mind, chesed yisoyvevem. They view everything that Hashem does to them, their attitude is so healthy and pleasant and upbeat. A person that's not on their level, they go, rabbi machoyvim, they go out of their mind and they just eat themselves up alive. And a person who knows how to deal with the Yisurim, who's trained how to deal with the Yisurim are not going away. The Yisurim are there. You can't escape. The only difference is, I accept. It's I know that it's chesed yisovim v'venu. That's the more realistic approach, I think, to a lot of this pasuk. And the mitzudos over here is telling us, you know something? If you daven hard enough, the yisurim go away. Halavai, I'm a kabbalah, 1,000,000,000% that the koyach of tefillah takes away the koyach of tefillah completely. It takes it away. You know, I always haunts me. I don't know if this is true. It always haunts me. Look around the news. See, Baruch Hashem, you don't waste your time. I have this like addiction almost with some of these conspiracy theories type of things, and read some of these things. There are so many patterns that's happening in the world at large that happened in Jewish history specifically to Klal Yisrael. The things in these last couple of years, and it's like you get this feeling is that this generation, Klal Yisrael, obviously there are problems, no one's coming to brush in the blood all the problems, but there's an incredible thirst for Torah, Yerushalayim, this explosive growth in Eretz Yisrael, in America, of teshuva, Torah umitzvos. Like I always get this feeling, it's like my crazy mind, you know, is that there's meant to be a gzeirah in this world. Chasham, we've always been the target, and because Klal Yisrael is so good, Hashem, like this craziness, instead of them targeting us, they're targeting themselves. All the crazy things that they're targeting, like violence and crazy ideas, it's not focused on Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, Ulayin Hara, they're not coming after, you don't hear in the news, they're coming for us. Nazi Germany, they were coming for us, no one else. They were coming for us. And here you hear like these crazy things in the news every so often. And if you think about it, this exact thing that they're going after, go back 100 years ago, it was only against Klal Yisrael. And now it's dispersed over everyone, the whole world. They're targeting the whole world, whatever is going, crazy things that are happening. And it's like, you know, because Klal Yisrael has been trained, has been
conditioned,
and there's so much thirst. It's like Hashem says, you know, don't bother with my people. Take it for yourself. Spread out. Spread the goods. Don't leave Klal Yisrael alone. I don't know if I'm saying it's true. You'll see in the news sometimes, you see something that just strikes me that it's Klal Yisrael was zoyche to chesed yisayvenu and halavai vayta. Next pasuk. Last pasuk of the Simchu v'Hashem. Rejoice in Hashem, the gilu tzadikim. Another expression, the harninu kol yishrele. If you can tell me the difference between the words simcha and gila and rina, you should be giving the shir. Because to me, these words here are generally kol yachasim, gila, rina, ditza, cherva, ava, yachva, v'shalom, v'reyos. Can anyone define the difference between all those words that you say in a Ashabara Sasan, the Simcha Chosin, the Chala, there are 10 expressions. Now, by the way, our Simcha Soloveitchik, Shlita, should be Gesund and Star. He showed me, I think the Ramban, this unbelievable, shocking Ramban, that when you say the Bracha, Ashabara Sasan, the Simcha Chosin, the Chala. Mark, what does it mean, Chosin, the Chala? A bridegroom, a Kala. Okay, a bride. So the Rabbi, no, that's not what it means. It means there's something called a chasan, something called a kala, but what it refers to, there is just like there is a form of joy called sasa. There is a joy in this world called simcha. There is a joy in the world called rina, and there's a joy called gila and chedva and ava and achva. There is a term of joy called chosan. It has nothing to do with a bridegroom. And in fact, the word chosan that we use for a bridegroom and the word kala that we use for a bribe is not even the real word. It's that's a borrowed term. Does it say anywhere in the Torah the word chosan and kala? Chosan is used in reference to a son-in-law, not a bride. You have a chosan, you could be 99 years old. This is my son-in-law. Chosan doesn't mean in the Torah, mean chosan. A chosan in the Chumash, we have the kolsan, in Yirmiyah, it says the word chosan. You have to see what it means over there in that context. But in the Torah, a kala, what does it mean? The Ramban, I think it's the Ramban, he showed me, because look at the bracha. Asher bar nishi goshu, asher bar sasa, tzimcha, chosan, kala, gila, rina, ditsa, v'chad, av, yachva. These are terms. If you were a top of the line, over the top, multiple PhDs, postdoctorates, of understanding the human condition, understanding all the different nuances of joy, you'll be able to break up, define different feelings of joy, different expressions that the neshama expressed at different times in a person's life. And there's something called sasain. There's a day for simcha. There's a day for gila, rina, and ditsa and chedva. And there's a joy, and a feeling of joy called chosan. A feeling of joy called kala. Nothing to do with a bridegroom and a bride. Nothing. And in fact, just the opposite. When you're dealing with a fellow who comes to Shachris, I'm getting married today. Don't say Tachnun. So when you go and you tell your wife, you know, I came home early today. I came home today 32 seconds early because we had in the shul a person who is willing to jump off the Washington Bridge later in the afternoon.
Nothing at all.
A person's getting married. So instead of saying, there was a person this morning who's going to get in the afternoon, is going to go to a wedding hall and say to a woman, Harev Nukudeshas. So to make things simple, we borrowed a term somewhere from outer space called chosan, which has nothing to do with getting married. It's an expression of joy, and we applied that word. It's really a verb, right? An expression of joy. Chassan, so he wasn't a chassan.
No, I'm just saying, I'm using...
Right. They were married for a very long time. It doesn't literally mean a bride. They were married for a very long time. Here they were fighting. She basically said, I'm going to kill you. You're a tzayach. She cursed him out. This is not what a kala does. They don't go curse out your chassan to the chuppah. She was giving it to Moshe, Sipoira. Chassan, the word, it's a borrowed, and the real meaning is an extreme. It's a certain type of joy, which is the art of the differences between these words is completely lost from us. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik Shlita, he showed this, he showed me this Ramban, and he showed me, Imanov says this, chosan and kala, it's a form of joy similar to sasan, simcha, rina, gila, ritza, v'chedra. And here, I'm just remembering, because over here, yeah, we have three different words, and it's... I never heard anyone. You read some of these words over here, and they tell you this. I don't know. Maybe it satisfies you, but the average person I come across, this. You're happy. You're happy. If you're happy, you're happy. Okay. We're not so sophisticated today. We're not so sophisticated. A joy. So what? How in your in our minds is there a difference? A joy from a chuppah than going to a bris, than going to a pidyon haben, going to a Yankee game. And your team, they come back in the bottom of the ninth. From the bottom of the ninth, they come back and they win. Oh, no, such joy. In your mind, do you really differentiate between the joy you experience from a baseball game versus the joy you have when you see a young couple get married? These are such small fine points. The average person doesn't know how to differentiate. You're happy. Back in the day, there were people that with great, great minds, great neshamas, are able to break up into parts. Listen, the whole world of psychology out there. You know, it's a major, major field. I was on Shabbos. I was talking to someone. So he said in the Eretz Yisrael, he says they have a lot of addiction problems. So the yeshiva bochum, addicted to the phone, and they when I am talking about just regular phones, and they brought down into the yeshiva, very high end. Psychologists, team of psychologists, company that specialized in this with people that are just super brilliant, not even from, they're not religious. And they explained to the Anhala basic concepts of psychology. they should understand why is a boy addicted to his phone? What goes on in the mind? What does a person in life need? What is a person needs attention, needs to be part of something, and explain in very great and train them to understand how the mind works. And once you understand how it works, within seconds and minutes, when a Rebbe deals with the Talmud and there's a problem, when you know how it works, you can fix it. Like that. In a second. And if only, you know, years ago people knew how to fix it, you have to first understand who you're dealing with. What the situation is. What is how the brain works. And then it's a whole different world. A whole different game. And you see something like this. There are different types of needs a person has. There's a need for simcha, a need for sasan, a need for gila, a need for rina, ditza, chedva, and there's something called a type of joy, chasan and kala. And we borrow those words for whatever reason, and we make them into nouns, and we label this guy, he's a chasan. This girl is a kala. But it's really a borrowed term. It's a borrowed term from an expression of joy. Here you got three words. You can go read all these little letters over here on the page, and you'll read all these different things. At the end of the day is, you get all mixed up, but we have to appreciate there's a lot of depth. There's Simcha B'Hashem, that's number one. Number two, the Gilu Tzadikim. Number three is V'harninu, called the Yishrei Lev. Mitzudei David, Pasuk Yud Aleph. On page 282, Simcha B'Hashem, B'Hachesed Habamenu. You see, the Mitzudei David is a genius. He didn't even enter into this arena. He knew to call it quits. Not even try to translate the difference between these words. Just asking for trouble. Okay, let's just do for maybe a moment a little bit of the Rashi's. We'll go back to Pasuk Zayin Ches. We did it already. Let's now go to Pasuk Tes on page 280. Rashi on page 280. Al tiyikisus of keferet shein nevin beinu isel loy toiva. Exactly what it said in the Mitzvah Stavit. Kesha'ata mimat go. Bemeseg, when you, look how we made it into a verb. A meseg is the harness, the bit, the bridle, whatever these different devices are. When you go and you put this object, this device, this harness or bit, bridle, who boilein piv, so here he says something a little bit different now. Here he says, not like the mitzvahs, who, the animal is boiling piv, it closes its mouth, umichaskes birisno, and he shakes the bridle that you're attempting to put. In other words, you want to put a bit,
shake it off.
You want to put a bit in its mouth. Open your mouth, you mule, you stubborn mule. Open the mouth. I want to put a bit inside your mouth. The mule says, nothing doing over my dead body, you putting something into my mouth. I'm doing it for your benefit. I'm doing you a taiva. If you'll put the bit in your mouth, you'll look beautiful, I'll be able to protect you, I'll guide you. Open your mouth. It doesn't have the knowledge to understand that you're not trying to do it harm. Boiling pivot swallows its mouth, it shuts its mouth tight to prevent you from putting the bit inside the mouth. It shakes off the harness. When you comb it, you need to close its mouth.
You brush it off.
Groom it. When you're grooming it. When you're grooming it, mikardo means you scratch it very hard. There's dirt, there's mud on its back, and you want to get it off. Ome karitzifo, you comb it. Hu boileim, the atatzach livloim. At that time, that's when you need to actually keep its mouth shut. That's when you do want it to close. V'liskar piv, uliyasroi b'mesek, uliyasroi b'mesek v'resen, kisha'ata ma'adehu adi, when you put on, ma'adehu means an ornament, umiyape, when you beautify it. So these things, by the way, this is important, over here, he's learning not like the mitzvahs, the word, edyoi, means, like it means by Matan Torah, by the Chet Egel. What does it say? Hoser Edyoi Me Olaf.
Me
Olecha. Hashem said to Moshe, or Moshe the Klal Yisrael, take off your jewelry. At Matan, when Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma, they were given jewelry, two crowns. Echad K'neged Nase, Echad K'neged Nishma. And when we worship the Egel, Moshe said, everyone, take off your jewelry. Take off your jewelry. So he learns the word Edyoi is to beautify it. It's jewelry. That's not what it said in the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David says something very unusual. We cited a pasuk to support. It means your mouth. So we hear, go back, let's finish with the Rashi. Baal kroi ve'lecha, shlo yikra ve'lecha lahazikicha, the animal should not come near you to harm you, kishata miyapehu, when you beautify it, b'meseg voreset, next words, edyoi livloim, b'shas edyoi, at the time of its beautification. How do you beautify? You do its hair. You do its hair, you go into a salon. You bring the animal to a salon to do its hair, to go into beautify it, to comb it, to comb it. Sha'ata mikordoi. See, there's over here, there's something about the Raja. There's something over here, there's some. The gear is a little bit problematic. Umikartsifai. Ata tsach le soigroi. You have to close its mouth with a meseg voresen. Shlo yikra velecha. Belima beloshen mishloshen masker. To close. Piv boilem. Raglov mivul. He gives examples. The mouth is closed. The legs. Mivulomois. It means the legs are shackled. You close them, you tie them together. The mesech de bechoyos. Umanachem chiber, livloim vechein al belima, loshoin toichen. It means content. Okay, so we have to really go over and explain this a little bit more details. So let's read the pasuk and get inside according to Rashi's interpretation. Rashi's over here is, alti, do not be like a sus and a ferret. Don't be like a horse and a ferret. Ain Havin, that does not understand the difference between Ravatoi, it does not appreciate when a person is trying to do it a favor, versus when a person is trying to do it harm. It always is on the defense. An animal always thinks that you're trying to cause it harm. Isn't that interesting? How come the animal doesn't trust and believe that you're always coming to do it good? As you train, but the natural state of an animal until it's trained is to assume that a human being is trying to cause it harm.
Correct.
That's very fascinating.
What a human being does.
That's the human nature to be on the defense. Human nature, by definition, you always assume the worst. A person that comes near you, they're coming to attack. Until you know otherwise. The assumption is an animal, someone comes near it, the assumption is it's coming to do me harm. And I will not cooperate. In Flatbush, the cats have a lot of chutzpah.
Not anymore.
Not in this neighborhood. In this neighborhood, they have a lot of chutzpah, the cats. They don't run away so fast. Keferet ein havin, altu kifsus, like a sus ferret, ein havin, b'meseg voresen, edyoi, when you attempt to harness it. When you attempt to harness it, voresen edyoi, at the time of its beautification, edyoi, when I'm now coming to do the animal a favor, I'm doing it a toiva, I'm going to beautify the animal, so we can go to a competition to have the most beautiful dog, the most beautiful camel in the world, win a gold medal for the. I'm trying, and in order for me to bring it to the barber, to bring it to the salon, I have to put on its mouth a meseg and a resen. Livloim, you know what it does? It closes its mouth. It refuses to cooperate. Baal kuroiv elecha, so as not to come near you. Livloim means to close its mouth. Because when you put a bit, when you put this device on a camel or a horse, part of the device, it goes in the mouth for the bit. It goes in the mouth itself. The way it remains stationed to keep it not from falling off is to actually, the part of the device actually enters into the mouth of the animal. It's like, you know, like children, they have pacifiers. A pacifier. You put something in the mouth. So this is not a pacifier, but it's similar. it's connected to a big device which goes around the entire mouth.
Shake it off.
And you're coming now to put it on. And what are you doing to me? What are you putting in my mouth? How would you like if I put this in your mouth? What are you doing to me? So the animal shuts its mouth. And you bang on its mouth. Open up your mouth so I can stick this thing in your mouth. And the animal looks, get lost. And before you turn around, the animal takes its head and bangs you. And the next thing you know, he bites you. Get out of here. And you tell the animal, you're biting me. I'm trying to do you a favor. We're trying to get a gold medal for your beauty. And yet, you look, I'm giving you a legacy. And you come in, you're biting me? You're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. So it doesn't understand. So the message for this is Ezioi, when
yes, you're not to control the animal. This is the
that's another shot.
This is the Machlokas.
That's
whether he says here, like, is it a decoration or is it a restraint?
A restraint. But you, right. But you, it's, the bottom line is you're doing it for the benefit of the animal. It's for the benefit of the animal. Ezioi, according to the Mitzvah, this means it means you put a resin in its mouth. When you attempt to put the meseg and the resin edyoi in its peh, within its mouth. It's a very unusual translation that it means your mouth. He brings a pasuk to prove that's the pshat. But the Rashi goes with the more...
Generally speaking, that's
it means a jewelry. Haser ed cham yalecha. And that's how Rashi learns over here also. You're coming over here to put this device on so we can harness you, so we can beautify you. And what does it do instead? Live lime. It shuts its mouth. It refuses to cooperate. Baal kiroi ve'lecha, it does not want to come near you. And you need the animal to participate. It refuses. All right, we'll leave it with that. Okay, any more rashes over here? We finished the rashes? Yes, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so tomorrow maybe we'll just discuss maybe a little bit about some Farshim. And then we will move on to Lamed Gimel Ranenu Tzadikim HaHashem. Very popular mizmor we say on Shabbos. Take a short